Happy Friday and welcome to Sometimes You Crit, a TTRPG Real Play podcast. We are here for the 45th episode, wow, of season two. My name is Jim and I am your Dungeon Master. I'd like to introduce you to all the players along with the question of the week. The question this week is going to be, say that one more time again, Chris.
What is your character's biggest pet peeve?
What is your character's biggest pet peeve? Let's start with Chris.
I would have to say Nico's biggest pet peeve is when, I don't know, some players in some people in the group eat space brownies and can't stop talking about everything all the time. General annoyances.
Okay. Space brownies are your biggest pet peeve. Next up, we have Cole.
Hey, folks. My name's Cole. I play Doran Flickerhand, 8th level wizard. And Doran's biggest pet peeve is being talked down to.
Literally?
That's...
Or figuratively?
That tracks a lot.
Take it as you will.
That's why whenever my characters come in, whenever my NPCs come in and talk at you, I know that there's going to be a reaction. Okay, how about... next up we have Ian.
Hi, so Pebbles, pet peeve. He used to work for his master as a housekeeper, so his biggest pet peeve is people leaving clothes on the floor.
Dust.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. Next up, we have Mark.
Hello, I'm playing Traxy Bags. He's a paladin and he's a bard. And back when he was a bard, everyone said all bards sing, and he doesn't like to sing. He likes playing his little lute. Okay, and he got so sick of it, he decided to change to a paladin.
So you're kind of blaming me for you changing to a paladin.
Exactly.
Okay, that's fair. And finally, we have Rebecca.
I am Rebecca, and I play Gilly. And I think we all know what Gilly's biggest pet peeve is. And what's that, everyone? Snotty-ass bitches! Right, so...
Which is half of all characters we meet.
Which is every female character.
Every female NPC, yep.
I have had more female NPCs in this game than I've ever had in my life just because
right.
I can poke at Gilly with every last
That's
one.
That's what I think. Jim makes them all that way just
nerdy.
To
piss
me off.
No, I feel like some of it, I feel like some of this is you.
No, it's all your NPCs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So we still need ratings and reviews. Please, if you have a chance, go ahead and give us one. We'd like to let you know that we are also still an affiliate for FanRoll. If you go to our Discord server on our Linktree, which is Linktree/sometimes YOU crit, we have links to their site. If you use the code sometimesY10, you get 10% off your purchase. Every week we roll for the recap at the end of the show. Last week it was Mark, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, Mark. Okay, so Mark, tell us what happened last week.
Good question. So we wake up and we all feel more powerful. We all leveled up. And Pebbles attuned to the ring. And he takes up the drum and thinks about going to that Axstar place. And the rowers start rowing, and we appear in the astral plane, just like before. But Pebble's gone. The ring and the drum are lying where he was standing just moments ago, and we see a very large creature headed in the distance. Doran decides to cast Sending to Pebble and asks him where he went. Pebble replies, he's in a very large room with a throne. Not very helpful, but... at least he's alive. Doran asks the Ifrit that is in the distance what he wants. And the Ifrit introduces himself as Tahir Tabil, and his master, Jadfey, wants to negotiate with us. Unfortunately, Doran and Nico decide they don't want to talk to this guy. They don't want to go anywhere. They don't want to go to some fire plane where this Ifrit is. And so we end up getting in a fight. And we're just getting into it. So that's all I know.
Okay, yeah. So when last we left, there was two different things going on. The part that Mark just mentioned was because his character was there. The 4/5 of the party was involved in a fight within a freet. The freet was off of the Genoa in the Astral Sea. It was about 150 or so feet away. Gilly had jumped off the boat to try and fly towards it using her intelligence. And you guys were doing some damage to it. It had done a lot of damage to Doran, but some of it was healing. On the other side of matters, we had Pebble. Pebble had was listening to Pyre again, because Pebble and Pyre are like BFFs. And Pyre told him, hey, when you go ahead and start beating the drums, there's a phrase I want you to say. And if you say this phrase, you will come to a throne, and this is the throne of the blade, and you will go ahead and you will have power beyond your wildest dreams. Of course, Pebble went ahead and did that. He chose that path, which set the group off. And Pebble, through everything that happened, he released Pyre from his, like one does. Yeah, what one does when one is encountered by a god that says, please release me, you release him.
Of course.
And then Pebble fought a dragon and blew its brain up and crushed it. And then he realized at the very end that he is inside of the blade. So let's start with Pebble. Pebble, I will tell you that one thing I did not mention to you at the very end. So you had tried to go to your friends, and you had sort of tried to fly to them, basically, and you'd encountered almost like a wall, it felt like. Now that you're thinking about it and looking at it, you can see sort of misty shackles on your wrists and your ankles that look very familiar to you.
I see them and I'm like, oh, poop. Okay. But I'm free to wander.
Absolutely.
Just inside this knife. And it's just this area outside the castle and then the castle behind me.
Yes. Now, I mean, it's going to go, you know, it's not like 100 feet or anything like that, but it's, right. You know, a couple miles deep by, you know, a right. couple miles wide by, you know, 100 miles deep or whatever. But, you know, it's basically knife shaped.
Right. Can I cast sending?
So what you're asking is, so you cannot cast sending. However, you, let me ask this question, because this is probably, gosh, 40 episodes ago, and I honestly do not remember. Who touched the blade?
Nico's definitely touched it.
I've had my hands all over it.
Gilly's never touched
it. I don't think Gilly's touched it, and I don't know if Trax has touched it.
Yeah, Nico was carrying it around during
that. So, Nico, you were the one that was... Were you originally carrying it when you guys got off the boat and you were walking through customs, right? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yes. Right. Okay. So I'm going to say that you can't really cast sending. However, you feel a connection, kind of a weak connection, to Nico. And you feel like you could communicate in a sending kind of way a little bit.
And I can tell it's Nico I'm connected to.
Yes.
I'm not just yelling out into the blindly into the void.
Right.
To the ether.
Okay. So I'm just going to like think, and I'm just going to, you know, think, and just like, you know, say, Nico, I'm in the blade, I think. I'm kind of trapped here in shackles. So that's where I am. Hope you're doing well. Later.
Okay, Nico, it's very faint. It sounds like it's coming from a long way away, but you just heard that in your brain.
Did anyone else hear that?
Hear what? Well, I'm not even there. I'm several feet away.
Sounded like Pebble.
Pebble?
He said it was his voice. It was like a
He's not
like
here. Big Bernie guy. Let's focus on him.
No, I'm telling you,
he was right there.
Okay, hold on a second. So we are still in initiative.
Yes.
Yeah, no.
We are still in initiative with
that. Yeah, we're still in combat.
Yeah, so while you were in combat, you heard that and you as a free action, you said, "Hey, what the heck, did anyone hear that?" And everyone's like, "Dude, we're fighting." Okay? And Gilly, did we get to you moving? Was that your movement?
No, we didn't, because you did Pebble and then we ended the session.
Right, but I've got you at the top.
I moved last.
Yeah, we never
and
got
then,
to me.
So Gilly was next, and then you switched over to Pebble.
Yeah.
At the top of the round, you switched to me.
Yes.
The top of the round. Gilly is next.
We never to me.
I just want to make sure. So you actually jumped off the boat at the beginning of the last turn?
I haven't done anything.
Yes, you did.
She's
you
not off the boat. On. She's on.
She's flying through the air.
No, I haven't done anything.
That's Tracks.
Trax did that. I haven't done
Trax
anything.
Trax did that. I'm sorry. That was Trax. You're right. I'm so zoomed out on this map.
Mark, you could feel free to speak up.
What? I was talking.
Okay. All right. So we're back at the top of the round. Mm-hmm. So Gilly.
I'm going to jump off the boat.
Okay. What is your intelligence?
It's 12.
Okay, same as Trax. You have a 35 speed.
Yeah, I was going to do the same thing that he did. And then I was going to go my full 35.
Mm-hmm.
And then can I hold my action?
Yes.
Okay, for when? Oh, well, actually, no. I'm going to go my full 35, and then I'm going to fire a crossbow bolt.
Okay. All right, so why don't you go ahead and move your 35.
And that would be...
And it's about 115 feet away. So what is your distance of your crossbow bolt?
It's 80, so it's still with disadvantage.
Gotcha.
So it's a 14 with disadvantage.
Correct. That does not hit.
Okay, so that's my turn.
Gotcha. It just zooms through space. And it's still going.
Okay.
It's going to keep on going for a while. It's just still going.
Okay. The lava plume behind him.
There you go. Doran.
Quick question, Jim. Mm-hmm. On that last round, were those balls of fire he threw at me a spell, or is that just an ability?
It is a ranged spell attack.
So I could potentially counterspell it if I were in range.
Yes. Blee. Right. right. So here's the deal. It doesn't show it as a spell for him. He has spells. Then he has actions. And it says multi-attack. He makes two scimitar attacks or uses its hurl flame twice.
Yeah,
and this is hurl flame, range spell attack plus, blah, 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 fire damage. But it doesn't say like what level the spell would be, and counterspell is based off of the level of the spell, correct?
Yeah, so it'd probably just be a normal attack, but he's just using a spell attack modifier.
Yeah, in monster stat blocks, it's not a spell as far as spell casting goes.
Gotcha. Yeah. It kind of just can summon, it's made of fire,
right.
It pulls from fire, it's throwing fire, and then it just uses its ranged spell attack modifier to see whether it hits you or not.
Okay, I'm still going to move closer to it, I think.
All right. And your intelligence is, what did you say, 22?
22.
So you can move 65 feet.
All right. I'm still going to stay behind my back line here.
No, you can move. Go right up to him. Go all the way up to him.
I did seriously consider going up and trying to grapple the guy. Not going to lie.
Gosh. Of course you did.
Like the one time that Dorn might be able to grapple somebody, Exactly.
A strength of 22 is huge.
Exactly. I'd have a plus 6.
Exactly.
That's hilarious. Right? Isn't that a good image? I am going to shoot a chromatic orb at it.
Okay. And you are within distance now, correct?
Yes. And I'm going to try to do lightning damage to it again. So that is a spell attack roll.
Okay.
Total of a 21.
That is a hit.
And I believe it's 78 damage. Did I say I used it at third level? No, it's 5d8. Sorry. That's a total of 30 damage.
Holy cow.
That's after the adding the 50%. So.
Okay.
And then I'm going to shoot a firebolt at it too for lightning damage.
Okay.
24 to hit.
That's a hit.
Zero on a D10 is 10, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so that's a total of 21 damage.
Okay.
Gilly's jealous.
So, first of all, that hurt a lot. It is way beyond bloodied. You have just, like, rocked its world.
Hey, he rocked me. I got to rock back.
And it's his turn. And he says, Jodfey will be displeased. And then he disappears.
Dorne, what have you done?
We're about to find out. I'm not sure yet. I defended myself. Dang it. He launched a fireball at our ship. Sure, it might have bounced off, but I don't know what else he's got going on.
Okay, what you guys doing? You're out in the astral sea. Some of you were floating around.
I'm going
to
float
back. Yeah, I'm going to go back to the ship.
Okay.
I guess I'm going
to. Yeah. Sorry, and then I'm going to just shout out. I'm going to throw down the hut, guys, if you guys want to get around me.
I want to find out what Nico was talking about.
God, Nico, you guys have got to, like, freaking nip this in the bud, man.
I mean, okay, so Nico, you said you heard Pebble. I mean, I'm going back to the ship.
Oh, gotcha.
Go back back to the ship.
I thought she was going to be pissed at Nico again. I'm like, what the hell did Nico do this time?
No. go back to the ship, and then I'm like, Nico, what's this about you hearing Pebble? Now, I hope this time you're not losing your mind, because we can only deal. You can't lose your mind this time.
Listen, hold on. Okay, you guys are flying, and I heard Pebble's voice, like, way down in the back here. Like, way down.
Okay, but he wasn't.
The hairs in the back of my head, he was whispering. He was saying something about fire and a knife, and then he asked how I was doing. Sweet little fella.
He wasn't telling you like that we were evil, or
he needed help. He needs help.
Of course he does, because he's Pebble.
He said he's trapped in the knife.
What?
But why would he? Why? Yeah, I don't know.
Well, if he's in the blade, that's not a good sign.
Only Pebble could get in the blade.
No, you would find yourself in there somehow.
Well, he said those weird words.
Wait, stop. You guys are flying.
Okay, yeah. Yeah!
How did we do that? Can I do that?
You just think where you want to go.
Yeah, exactly. I just thought.
I couldn't figure that out. I just got to think. So then I jump and think.
Yeah, but maybe.
Right up. Holy shit!
Jump and think.
Right? Well, maybe if you weren't talking to Pebble, you could have figured that out.
So
I wasn't talking to as much as getting whispered at.
Right. So I will tell you, since you live in a world where there's magic, and Dorne has been messaging
people,
sending and stuff like that, I think you guys kind of understand how this works. Like, you've Franco and everybody else, like, you get a message comes to you, and then you get the feeling that you can respond to that message. Nico, the message came to you. You did not have the feeling that you could respond.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Well, that was my next question was going to be, if it was something like a message, then he's not alone in the knife. I don't know how to respond.
He's not alone in the knife?
I don't know. Pebble doesn't have the capabilities of sending me a message. He doesn't have, as far as we know, he does not have any magical skills. We always look to Doran to send messages like this over magic. And if he's actually trapped in the knife, that is interplanar, inter-item. I don't even know what to call like that kind of communication.
How did Pebble get into the knife?
He said fire. It has to do with the last time he had the knife, he went banana land and tried to kill somebody.
Why?
Because he's a sweet idiot and we love him. We need to focus on getting back to the mountaintop and seeing if there's anything we can do. Or if we can get this goddamn ship running again.
Yeah,
I don't know if we can go to him.
All right, so this pirate, he was a god, right? Was he a god?
This is more Trax's area of expertise.
That's what I was going to say. Kikanuti. So
Kikanuti trapped him in the blade with a lot of help from a lot of other gods. But, you know, if he is in the blade, that makes me wonder, where is the god? And he must have some kind of power that he didn't have before, because otherwise, how would he talk to you?
So is he trapped in the blade with the god?
Maybe.
Oh,
he didn't say that, but I don't know. He did say that there were shackles on him.
Yeah. I do agree that we need to get out of here soon, because there's going to be a bigger ifrit coming after us soon.
Okay. So
I think we need to get attuned to this ring and row our boat somewhere else.
Okay. So how long does it take to do that? Does it take a whole night?
Yeah.
Eight hours, I believe.
Doran, is that right? 8 hours?
And that battle took 30 seconds, so.
All right, so let's.
Yes. Jim, have I finished ritually casting my hut?
If you would like to have done this in 10 minutes, yes. You have ritually cast your hut. So let's just say this whole thing took about 10 minutes or so, right? You've ritually cast the hut with, I'm assuming, everyone inside of it?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Correct? Okay.
Gilly's still floating in the nether.
Gilly's still floating.
I said I was back on the ship.
Yeah, but you didn't move your guy.
Move you back on the ship. Here we go. I got you. Don't worry about it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Is your fire buddy still there?
Yeah. He won't hurt you. Don't worry.
Fire buddy stays for 8 hours, wasn't it?
1 hour, I believe.
1 hour. Gotcha. He'll be there for a little bit. Okay. So it's been 10 minutes. You now have the hut up. Is there something you guys would like to do, or you want me to move back towards Pebble?
All right, Nico, you said during the fight that you had some sort of contact with Pebble. I know you guys were chattering about something a moment ago, but I was casting the hut.
He was busy.
Yeah. So because you decided to, whatever you were doing is more important than the rest of us. It felt like a whisper on the, we keep ourselves safe. Come on. It felt like he was like whispering at me. I can't return. I can't talk back. But it was just this faint little like hair on the back of your neck stands up. And I caught pieces more than whole messages in it. He said he thinks he's stuck in the blade. He said something about pyre, shackles, asked how I was doing, oddly enough, and then said he needed help.
Well, what did you say back?
I can't answer. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. You're Arcana guy. I'm Forest guy.
Well, I'm not sure if I would know how that's possible or not. Jim, would I know how that's possible? Yeah.
Would you know how
this might be working, that he communicated with him, but Nico can't talk back, or like what that might be?
Let's roll Arcana.
13. Sorry, buddy. I know you got a dingling sensation. My best guess is it was the gods.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I would say that you really would not know. Let's put it this way. You would know that he is not using any spell that you have used before.
Right.
Because you know how those spells work. So you know that the between message and sending, there is a sending portion and then there is a reply portion to it.
Yeah.
Right. And he is describing this as only something that's coming to him. So it does not sound like anything you've used before.
I'm just going to assume it's some sort of divine magic because I have no exposure to the divine. So, Nico, it's kind of odd that you'd get contacted by Pebble in this way. I never knew Pebble as a praying man.
Exactly. Why me of all of us? Why me? It doesn't make any sense.
It's always you, Nico. Why is
it's never
you?
Me.
It is always you.
It really is always you. I mean, it's like why our ire was against you and now our...
Your ire.
What? No, Pebble's ire was against him too.
No, it was. Maybe.
It was when Pebble
Everyone
went.
Everyone was picking on poor Nico.
Right. And now?
I mean,
all that fire magic really makes your blood boil.
And on that
I do
note,
at night, try and keep calm.
On that note, I'm going to switch back to Pebble. Okay. Pebble, you sent your message to him. I don't know if you expected a reply. You've never cast a spell like sending or anything like that. You have been like on the other end of them before. But you know, I believe that you would know that your message got through.
Okay. All right. So I'm trapped here. I've come to realize I am trapped here. Shackles and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Can I, if I sit back down on the ground, if I concentrate a little bit, can I get any sign of maybe a where I'm in the blade now? I've realized that.
Correct.
Can I get any sense of awareness of what's going on outside the blade directly? Can I like any senses attached to the actual blade?
That's a good question.
That is an excellent question. Let's roll. Do I want to roll or do I want to just have you do it? Let's roll perception.
That's going to be a 9.
Okay, so if you remember before, mm-hmm. when you were just little Pebs walking around, minding your own business, and you decided to attune to the blade, at that point when you attuned to it, you immediately had like a connection with Pyre inside, and you were talking back and forth, right? But before that, you did not know anything about anything with the blade. I would say that you know that no one has attuned to the blade.
Okay.
So you don't feel a connection with somebody that you could communicate with. And I would say that you know right now that the blade is not in anyone's possession right now.
Okay.
That's about it as far as that goes. I think you feel like you would know if somebody was actually physically carrying the blade. You wouldn't be able to connect. You wouldn't be able to contact them, but you would know that there is somebody, you know, in possession of it. And if somebody were to attune to it, you would instantly be aware and be able to have like a full on conversation with them.
Cool. Okay. Yeah. Other than now at this point, I'm sitting and waiting. Can I conjure a sandwich?
The best freaking sandwich you've ever had in your life. What do you want it to be?
I don't know.
One of the big Fred Flintstone sandwiches.
Yeah. Brontosaurus burger, you know.
Yes, Brontosaurus burger, whatever you want. You just
extra
you just,
pocket salt.
Yes, you just think, you don't even need pocket salt. You got real salt.
Could be worse. This could be worse. You know, I'm in my own little pocket dimension where I'm a god. Could be a whole lot worse.
Exactly. You feel like inside of your space, you could do almost anything.
Except get out.
Okay, cool.
What, say that again, Chris.
I said, except get out.
Okay, and on that note, we're going to leave Pebble sitting there eating a Brontosaurus burger and having a massive foot tall sandwich and the best whatever kind of what does Pebble drink?
The blood of his enemies.
Wine, Rolling beer, the blood beer. Of your enemies.
He's gonna use his new powers to find something brand new to drink.
Fermentation of the women.
Come up with some new concoctions.
So while Pebble's considering that and Chris is going through the entire Conan series here, what would the rest of you guys like to do? You are inside of the hut. You can see out just like before. The ship is not moving. It is steady in the astral sea.
Is it like pitch black?
It's sort of a silver gray. You do see little kind of like not dots, but like pools individually at a distance, like the
Ifrit scattered across the sky.
Yes. The Ifrit came from one of them. And you know, you like, I think that you would know which one it came from. It was like an emerald color one. Cause you were looking at where the Ifrit was coming from.
Yeah.
And you had seen it moving towards you. And I'm not saying that now that you look over in that direction, possibility that you see some other motion in that direction is going on, but it's possible.
So
I guess there's other motion in that direction.
Pose the question to everyone. Yeah, I'll pose the question to everyone else. Like, so we would guess that every one of these little star-like clusters or spots, I guess, is another Ifrit palace or another home for someone else.
Dorne, did we have you roll on your knowledge of the astral sea before?
When we all first got
there
the
so.
First time.
Did we?
It was a big successful roll. That's
it was how a big successful roll. Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
I will say that you know by looking out that there is a lot of different colored, and I'm calling them pools because that's what they call them, pools. And you know that the Ifrit came from one that was sort of emerald color. You see a lot of different colors, and I could pull out the list of all the colors if you want me to. There's also in the distance things that almost look like, I don't want to say bodies. They look like bodies, but gigantic bodies that are out there at a vast distance that you think, you know, maybe if you were able to move in that direction, you could get to them and they'd be huge planet-sized bodies, you know, or larger than planet-sized bodies. Think kind of like the, what is it in Marvel?
Yeah, I was thinking Guardians of the Galaxy, the mining place, whatever it was.
Yes. The mining colony?
Nowhere.
Yes.
Yeah.
No,
nowhere. Nowhere. Yeah. Very good.
Nowhere.
Right, yeah. Yes. Things like that. Like basically dead gods. And those pools, you know, like the emerald pool, you've got to, I mean, I think that with somebody with your intelligence and you saw the Ifrit come from there and they were telling you that they were going back towards there, you would have to get the feeling that the emerald pool would lead you back to the plane of fire.
Yep. I am going to concentrate really hard and see if I can move this boat with my mind.
That's what I was going to ask. If we kind of all pooled our intelligence together, can we try and move this thing? And is it worth moving towards one of the other specks of light away from the emerald one because we kicked the hornet's nest.
Maybe a different colored one.
And if we were only playing Spelljammers, I could explain to you how this all works.
Well, the problem is that this is not a Spelljammer ship. The Genoa is different. But how does it work in Spelljammer?
There's a thing called a spell jamming helm, which is a big chair you sit in, and you attune with it, and you can then you use your intelligence to steer the ship and move the ship.
Right. Right. Yeah. So this would be different for you guys because the Genoa moves because of the ring, rowing.
The drum is basically the helm.
The drum and that brings them. They move. I think that you would know that if you could get them to row, that you could, just like you got them to row on the prime material plane and row in the actual water, if you could get them to row, you could get them to row in the astral sea also and move the ship throughout the astral sea. The intelligence things for moving in the astral sea is really just for you moving your body. I don't think there's a way for you to move the ship.
The first time that we were in the astral sea, how long was the Efreet moving towards us the entire time, or did it hold off? So how long would it take to get from the pool to our ship?
That was another question I was going to ask.
I believe it was not coming at the very beginning. You guys were inside of your thing for 8+ hours. I want to say, I'm just going to give you a number here. It was somewhere under an hour.
Okay. So unless we move the ship, we might be SOL here. Maybe I did shoot the messenger.
No, literally, you did do that. Like, not maybe. We actually killed the messenger. That happened.
Kill him. Did he? Did he die?
Listen, no. He's going
to die. Is that what happened?
He was bloody. He was bloodied, but he said something along the lines of Jedfae will be displeased, and then he
disappeared.
Right, that's what I thought. Not dead. That's the main key here. I tried to smite
tomato,
him.
Tomato.
You just remember this next time.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what would happen if we put the giant's heads back on their bodies.
Wow, that is an intrusive thought that just came out.
Aren't you the intrusive? Holy man?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just thinking maybe they'd appreciate that and help us out by moving this thing.
You know, I say we have about an hour. I will say those bodies are being kept alive by necromantic magic. So if we put the heads on, I don't know what'll happen to the magic. But we need 7 more hours after that 1 hour for me to attune and for us to get the hell out of here. I'm open to anything at this point. We could try it with one and see what happens.
That's what I'm thinking. Just try one and see what he says if he comes back or whatever.
We could also go bowling with the heads. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, we could do that too.
Oh, God.
Okay, what are you guys going to do?
I'm going to run down there and grab a head.
Sure.
Luca looks at him and goes, that is fucking grisly.
Okay.
I will not be doing this.
I'm going to shout after him. Make sure he looks at his own body. You don't want to mix and match.
Yeah. Yeah, let's make sure that we put the correct head with the body.
Make sure it faces forward.
Well, they have eye movements. We know that. So they can use their eyeballs to go up and down to say yes and side to side for no.
So, Trax, you go down inside the Genoa, and there is the stack of heads. For those of you who play golf, they're kind of, if you've ever gone out on the range, you know, they got a little machine that drops the balls down. It's like a little pyramid. So they're in a little pyramid. And I think you would believe that the grabbing the topmost head would be the safest one so they all don't go falling.
Yeah.
Is that what you think?
Oh, for sure. I'll grab
the easiest one. Okay, I just want to make sure. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
No, that's exactly
while you're grabbing heads. Yes, so you grab
I don't want to lose my head.
Head by the hair?
I just carefully carry it by the cheekbones, you know, so it's not uncomfortable for it.
Okay, no. Is it facing you or facing away from you? Now you're worrying about its
comfort.
Facing got away. I kind of like walk it up carefully okay. up the stairs.
All right, so you I'm pick trying it
not
up.
To make it get dizzy or throw up.
He's got no stomach. How's he going to throw up? What's he going to throw up?
I don't know.
Okay. Okay.
I'm so just trying to empathize what it would feel like moving around like that.
Okay. Well, would you like me to remove your head from your body? Then you could empathize more.
No, that's okay.
Okay. That's well.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So you take the head and you're having it pointed away from you. You go up the stairs. I'm going to assume you don't trip and crush its head as you fall or anything. You make it up to the top of the stairs and you're holding a rather large head.
Okay.
I mean, I would assume that a normal skull is probably like about, what would you say, like 10 inches top to bottom, maybe?
About the size of your head.
About the size of my head, right? About this? Let's say about, I don't know. Okay, let's say this head is about 2 feet tall.
Your head is 2 feet tall?
I don't know if I could carry that.
The head of the giant is 2 feet tall.
I was like, damn, you got a big head, Jim.
Not my head.
I am 3 feet tall.
Right.
So you're saying it's a giant head.
So you are holding it like a basket.
I may need to roll it.
It's like a boulder, just like rolling it along.
Push it up the stairs.
I think the niceties are over at this point.
Yeah.
Grab a nostril to pull, get some leverage and hold on. Just like.
See, we're back to my bowling idea.
Hey, you help me here? I'm having some trouble.
No, you're on your own tracks. You're doing just fine.
Who was the?
We only have an hour.
The Greek or whatever that rolled the stone up and down.
Sisyphus.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So you put your arms around this big skull. And you waddle your way up the stairs. So now you're up on the deck with a gigantic skull in your hands. What are you doing?
I'm going to set it in front of the first giant body rower and say, hey, if this is you, your body, put your eyes up and down. If it's not, going to make your eyes go side to side.
Okay, if the eyes work, then I could assume that the ears would work. The ears work; they don't need anything else internally to work. But the ears.
Now, are these skulls or are they heads?
They are heads.
They're heads. Their eyes have tracked us before.
Yes, the eyes have tracked you. They have hair and ears and everything else. So it's going to what? What languages do you speak?
Common, celestial, and goblin.
Why don't you roll? I'm making shit up now. Why don't you roll?
Only now?
No.
Don't look behind the curtain.
Don't look. Nor the man behind the curtain. Why don't you roll? Not deception. Why don't you roll?
Persuasion.
Persuasion.
I used to be better at this. 23.
Ooh.
Don't ask for rolls if you're not going to like the results.
I know. The eyes move side to side.
Was that a no?
And I'll do that to each of the bodies until he gets an up and down.
Okay. So. Chris is over throwing up over the edge.
Literally, that's what Nico's doing right now.
Yeah, so you no, actually, literally Chris. Nico too, but Chris is going to walk outside and puke.
Gilly's actually fascinated by this now, so she's actually helping Trax now.
Thank you.
Fascinating. Okay. This is fascinating.
So, yeah, Trax, you do get to the body where the eyes go up and down, but it's awkward and kind of heavy and it's up too high, so you wouldn't be able to actually... Put
hey Gilly, can you
no, put Gilly's this up helping there? Now. I said I was helping now because I'm fascinated by it.
All right, so Gilly puts the head on the body.
On the body, yeah.
The correct way.
The correct way, yes.
Okay, all right. Just making sure. Mm-hmm. Gilly puts the head on the body. The head sort of, you lay it down there and it's kind of not attached, you know? It's just kind of like, it's hard to balance it on the top of the torso. And you're kind of moving it around and all of a sudden the head sort of like turns to the left and the right and you hear a little creak, 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 like little bone snapping, and then the head is on the body.
Ha.
Can you talk now?
Ha.
And then just like gross, ancient, putrid
breath
insides come pouring out of its mouth.
I think you need to brush your teeth.
Now it can vomit.
Yes, now it can vomit. Ugh. And it does.
Oh, and then Gilly runs over to the side of the ship where Nico is and throws up with him.
Okay. Okay. So yeah, so it has puked and it has a head attached to the body.
Can you talk?
And it is just sort of looking at you and it's speaking. It starts to speak, but does anyone speak like a giantish language?
I speak Gnomish and Dwarvish.
Yeah, it's saying things, but nothing that you understand.
What is Sylvan?
That's like an Elvish language.
Yeah, yeah. Elvish.
Fae.
Well, I have Elvish and Sylvan then.
It's like a fae.
It's more of a fae thing than a Sylvan.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's sitting there, still holding the oar, still looking at you.
I will ritually cast Comprehend Languages on myself.
There you go. Bam.
Hey. Okay, so, all right, so first of all, you're inside the hut.
Correct.
Can you be heard outside of the hut?
It doesn't say.
Can you leave the hut?
He can't leave the hut.
He cannot leave the hut.
He can't leave it without destroying
it. Without it dissipating, correct?
Yeah. Right.
But does the hut, it's like a tent, right? So can he like open up the flaps?
It's not like a tent.
It's like a dome.
That's why, yeah, so that's why you guys need to be inside it when I cast it, because things that aren't inside it when I cast it can't move into it.
Right, so the only thing I could see here that would, creatures and objects within the dome, when you cast a spell, can move through it freely. All other creatures and objects are barred. Spells and other magical effects cannot extend through the dome or be cast through it.
Yeah.
But I'm casting it on myself.
You're casting
it on yourself.
It's
not going through the dome.
Right.
Can I, if I can hear the conversation through the dome, then I should be able to understand what it's saying.
Do you need the dome?
Yeah.
I mean, we have a whole bunch of Ifrits coming in less than
an hour. It says a dome of force. So I'm going to assume you cannot hear anything from the outside on the inside because it's...
Well, if we pose this, it was 10 minutes to cast this as a ritual, correct?
Yeah, I can always cast it again.
I mean, you could cast it on someone else who can go in and out. And
also, no, I can't. It's
didn't we figure out astral plane casting rituals take faster?
Yeah, right. So just drop it and start over.
Yeah, there you go.
Not that part.
Right, because minutes are rounds.
Minutes or rounds? Oh, so it takes like
hours or minutes? Minutes or rounds?
So it literally takes a minute to cast it as a ritual. Then okay, in that case, yeah, I'll just cast on it. I'll walk out, cast Comprehend Languages on myself as a ritual.
Okay. All right. So he is his speech is very stilted, and all you can hear him say is something along the lines of I am one with the Genoa. And he just keeps on repeating it.
He says he is one with the Genoa. I think we're good for the whole head on body thing.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. All right. Well,
then the next guy's two with Genoa.
Let's, all right. Well, then, Trax, let's start moving heads then.
Yeah, I think we should move some heads.
All right. I'd start moving heads up.
Okay.
Is he no longer slumped over or looking?
He is no longer slumped over. He's sitting up.
I start moving heads up and up and
okay
from the pile
mm-hmm.
for tracks and help him start matching heads up.
Yeah, I think if you go about it the same way you did, it's going to take you guys, you know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever. Mm-hmm. Oh, maybe a little bit longer, maybe 25 minutes. But eventually you can bring up all of the heads and put them on all of the bodies.
Okay. All right. We've done that.
Okay.
All right. Can you bang the drum and tell him to go somewhere?
I can bang the drum, but I'm not attuned to the ring. So we'll
hope for the best. We can talk to them now.
But I don't know if they'll understand us.
Well, I don't know. Them saying they are one with the Genoa means I suppose they do attune to the Genoa. Yeah. Yeah, so they would be part
comprehend,
of that.
Comprehend languages. He can understand what they're saying.
Right.
It does not give him the ability. I don't believe, unless I'm wrong, I don't believe it gives him the ability to speak the language, but I may be wrong.
You want tongues for that.
You are correct. Yeah, tongues is what that's for.
Right.
So close.
Yep.
Oh, well. They're no longer headless. Well,
I'm going to go to, I imagine since they're rowing the boat, they're all facing in the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go up to where they're facing and just try to beat the drums in a rhythm.
Okay.
And see if they're watching or if they'll try rowing or anything like that.
So you get up there and you start beating the drums. They immediately start rowing. You're not telling them like where to go. You just started doing it and they start rowing and the ship is moving now straight ahead of where it was at.
Okay.
I mean, you know it's moving, but you know it's vast area, so you don't. It's not like there's wind in your face or anything, but you know that you are moving forward.
Is there a wheel, like a captain's wheel or whatever, on this ship?
Let's go with yes.
I'm going to go and try and take that wheel, control whatever rudder's on this thing, and see if I can steer it to angle the ship away from the Ifrit.
Well, hold on. Can you do both? Give me the damn drum.
You're drumming.
Yeah, you're drumming.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
I can steer if you want.
Yeah, Nico, I don't care. Nico, track, somebody else. Just get us away from the Ifrit.
Okay, so I will tell you, like I said, there's pools in the distance. And there's bodies in the distance. But these distances are vast. So are you trying to, and I'm going to throw up air quotes here, run away and just go in the opposite direction of the Ifrits? Or is your goal to go to one of the pools that would be closest to you in an attempt to go into that pool to escape from the Ifrits, or see none of the above?
Do I know what the colors of the pools mean?
Do you know what the colors of the pool mean? That's the $1 million question, isn't it?
There is.
That is the $1 million question.
Yeah.
I would say, okay, so let's do this. First of all, let's roll a D4 to see how many pools are as close to you as the one the Ifrit's coming to, which would be a reasonable distance that you could go to. Like, there's going to be ones that are going to be, you know, a billion miles away, but there's going to be ones that are going to be in the hour-ish range of you moving to that you could get to. So let's roll D4 and find out how many of those there are.
Three.
There's three. Okay, now roll 3d20s. I need all the individual numbers.
Yep, 3, 4, and 9.
3, 4, and 9.
They're all green.
Great.
Okay.
That's wonderful.
Don't look.
Don't look. Don't Would look we ever look. Look something up?
Yeah, be fair. Whatever. Let's roll. I would say, let's roll a religion or arcana for each individual one. And I'll tell you if you know what that one is. How's that?
Each so we'll person start with or just we'll, Doran?
It's just Doran, right?
Yeah, okay.
He's the one that knows the astral plane, or?
I think it's fair. Because no, he's the only sense. One that really knows the astral plane. Yep. Let's just do him.
First one we'll say is a 13.
Okay. You do not know what that is. I will tell you it is magenta.
Magenta, okay. Second one is a 17.
17. That one is amethyst. And I think you would probably know what that one is. You feel like that is the abyss.
Third one is 19.
That is a flaming red pool. And that is, I'm going to mispronounce it, Acheron. I believe it's pronounced Acheron.
Would Doran know what that is?
Yeah. And that would be, and I just want to make sure, the ones that you do know. All right. One of the single best books D&D ever put out. Manual of the Planes. You can use it anytime, all the time. Okay. So the one was the Abyss. And you know that is, let me just make sure. I'm right
here. Sounds like a lovely place.
Yeah, I don't think we want to go there.
Mm-mm. But what's a Charon or a Karen or whatever?
Right.
A Karen?
A Karen.
I don't want to.
The manager.
Oh, my gosh.
And that we're doing.
Jim, I definitely just looked it up. Do you want me to say what I found?
He told you not to.
So basically.
That's fine.
Well, okay. He was trying to find it, okay?
I know, I'm kidding.
So basically he was, or it says that it's basically a plane of constant warring. It's described as kind of an iron shod plane filled with like hobgoblins and goblins and orcs that are constantly at war without really any sort of reason.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the idea behind it.
Couldn't find the Disneyland plane, could you?
Okay.
I want to go Apparently see Mickey not. Mouse.
So we have one unknown, one's the
and what
abyss.
Was the, what was the definition they gave warning. You for the abyss?
Oh, I didn't look up that one.
Okay.
Okay, that's what I thought. It's chaotic evil. So isn't that where demons are from? Yeah.
Yeah,
that sounds like fun.
Yeah, the abyss is where demons are from. So the hells are where devils are from. The abyss is where demons are from. Yeah, I don't like either of those options. And so, I don't like the unknown third option because it might be the seven hells the way I rolled. So let's just run away.
Yeah, might as well.
Okay.
Go in the opposite direction as fast as you can.
Will we be able to tell if they're gaining on us or if we're losing them?
Well, hold on a second. Chris, were you going to say something?
Can he attune to the ship while we're doing things? Or does he need to stop and like rest and attune to the ship?
Well,
so there's
he's not attuned. Well, the ring.
Attuning to the ring.
Attuning to the ring is normally, it's not just an 8-hour process, it's 8 hours of rest.
So
it's a long rest.
And we're going to stay out of the way.
Right. We're just going to keep driving this mother in one line.
Go.
Let somebody else play the drums.
Right.
Yep. Drax, you've got a musical background. You can sing us a tune during it.
Here we go. It's all up to the bard now.
Let the bard come back out.
We need a jaunty rowing theme while this is happening.
There you go.
All right. A sea shanty.
Nico, you got to steer.
So
done deal. Let's go.
Tell me again. Are you aiming towards one of those three or are you just aiming in the exact opposite direction of where they are coming from?
If I'm on the, I'm at the helm, I'm just steering away from everything into just everything. Black abyss.
Yeah.
As far away from everything as I can get.
But not the abyss.
Correct. Yes.
No,
yes,
no, he said the abyss. He said the abyss.
No.
Very good. Okay. Thank you for the correction, Gilly.
Okay. Are you sure? The abyss sounds like fun.
Absolutely positive. The smart guy in the smart plane told us not to go there, so I won't. Okay.
All right. So you start moving the Genoa. And okay, so let me just make sure I get this right. Doran is trying to rest / attune to the ring.
Yep.
He's starting the process, which is going to take 8 hours.
I'll probably set up the hut first. Take a minute. Gotcha. Set up the hut on the deck.
Yep. Okay. All right. So you guys are beating the drums, steering the ship. You're moving away from the creatures. You're just aiming the exact opposite direction so that you can get as far away as possible.
Yeah. Deep space.
Right. I would say that at first you don't get a feeling because you're moving opposite direction of it, of you don't get a feeling of whether the creatures are getting closer to you or farther away from you at first, like over the first hour or so. But then you start to feel like they are definitely gaining on you.
Tracks plays faster.
Right. Now, it doesn't really matter how fast you play. These guys are still, it's a process. They're not like going, this isn't one of those cartoons where the ship gets up on the
end. Wacky racers.
Yeah, exactly. They're not doing that. They're moving it along. It's just that it's a ship that's moving through the abyss, and it's going to take some time to move.
Limitations.
It has, yes. The ship has limitations in as it's rowing through the abyss. It appears to be the creatures have less limitations and are gaining on you. And if you were to guess, if you were a betting man and you were to bet whether the 8 hours would be up before or after they reach you, you would bet on before.
You would bet that the 8 hours is up before they reach you?
No, you would bet that the creature would reach you before
they're gonna get
to 8 hours. I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah. I may have said it wrong.
No, I heard you clear.
No. Okay. Yeah, he was just trying to interpret it that way.
Yeah, no.
Too smart for his own good, that kid.
Did you hate that guy?
No. Love him.
It was a good attempt.
It was.
Well, he's inside his hut that none of you can enter.
Oh shit!
We can't hear each other either.
He's in there.
I almost suggested that we all jump in the hut while he cast it and then jump out, but
could have.
But oh well.
So, can we see, like, you said there are people behind us now. They're gaining. Can we see it like a number, like a figure? How many?
A figure.
People.
I would say, so after within the first hour, I would say no. You know that it's multiples, but it's hard to tell at this distance. After about 2 hours or so, you get the feeling that this is greater than 2 and less than 10.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right.
That's not a problem.
They look as big as the unnamed servant.
So the unnamed servant it's a distance, but
his
I will
name
tell
is
you
Tahir Tabil.
Yeah, he was not unnamed. He had a name.
He had a name.
He's a person. Yes.
He was in a freak.
Right. So these look bigger than him.
Fuck.
Great.
One looks bigger than them.
You know, the only one who is safe is the one who started the fight.
You know, there is some irony in that.
So that's going on right there. Let's go back to little Pebs. Pebs, you're eating, you're drinking, you're enjoying yourself. Is there anything you'd like to do while you're in here? Because they're spending time, so I don't want to just like leave you.
Oh no, I'm probably, you could have a little montage of me, you know, jumping over buildings and you know playing with unicorns that I've conjured up, you know, just.
There were no buildings there, but you made the buildings so you could jump over the buildings.
Yeah. You know, just living out my Superman God fantasies, you know.
Yes.
There's, you know, I'm just killing time at this point, you know. Who knows? Pyre was in here for thousands of years, you know. Who knows how long it'll be until I'm out.
I hope not that long. So there's nothing else you would like to do?
I mean,
I'm
going to try any other way for me to get myself physically out of the blade, but there's not going to be. I mean, I can keep trying to chat to Nico.
You could do that. That's up to you. Like, you know that the message got through to him.
Yeah. I feel in my brain, I perfectly explained my situation. I'm just waiting for him to come along and get me now.
Gotcha.
What's the holdup? What's the holdup, Nico? You know, I can't sense what's going on outside the blade. You know, I will wait for someone to attune to the blade, and then I'll maybe make a new friend that way. No, other than that, I'm just exploring the space and just chilling.
Okay, so you do not want to like talk to Nico or anything like that.
Nah.
Okay, right. I just want to make sure I don't want to leave you.
Don't worry about me. I'm good.
Okay. All right. So back to you guys. The creatures are approaching. They're still a distance, right? You're probably 3 hours in. They're still several hours away from coming to you or getting to you. But you see that there's, you know, there's definition. They're moving. They seem like they're moving with a purpose.
So do we have a game plan on what we're going to do?
We're going to keep going until they catch us, and then we're going to hold out and see if we can make it. That's all we can do.
Well, it's going to be a very short fight if we fight.
I mean, we could go to to one of the, you don't know that. We could do this, but we could go to one of the planets and take our chances on one of the pools. That's the only other thing we got.
Well, the last set of pools did not seem very promising.
Well, that's true. If we're traveling this far for this long, maybe we can reach something now.
The only other thing I can come up with is how far away are we from the Acheron one? Ooh. And could we find a way to like hide out on the planet for a little while?
Well, I think we should be closer to other ones, new ones, right?
That Acheron one didn't sound very nice.
Well, neither are you, but like we managed to survive.
Hey!
I meant your combat prowess. Relax.
Wow, that felt like an attack.
It did. It listen, really.
I might still have a little bitterness of trying to be stalked and killed.
I apologize. I don't know how many times I did. I'm sorry, Nico. I just now is not the time, and Pebble is missing, and these freaks are trying to kill us. I don't know what else to do.
All right, so broker. So while this is going on, I just want to make sure that I understand what I'm hearing. Am I hearing that you know you're going to get run down by them?
Yes.
You're going to continue going in that direction, even though you're going to get run down by them, and then you're going to
die. Yes.
Fight?
Well, die, no. Yes. Hold on.
One option. Yes.
Because I can fast forward to that part if you want me to. I just wonder if there's a purpose. Okay.
I think I'm thinking I'm going to look around and see if, you know, we've been traveling for quite a while, right? So it only took them a matter of 10 minutes to get to us if we were standing still from where we were. And we've been traveling for hours now.
Three hours.
We should be close to something else.
I mean, you may be closer to the ones that were near you. Like, this is space. It's not like they're everywhere. They're not like just littered every hour. So
the astral plane is infinite.
Yeah, it's infinite. So while there are ones out there, I don't think you would have gotten out of the your own little area where you were, where they'd be near. In fact, you'd probably be moving away from some of them that were near you. You know what I mean? Because you guys just took off in a random direction. I would say roll a D6, Mark.
4.
Okay. So I would say that you are near the magenta one that you don't know what it is, and the flaming one, which is a Karen. Closer to them. Like those are kind of like you've been kind of heading in the general-ish directions to where you could probably make it to one of those if you wanted to. I'm not telling you to go to one of those. I'm just telling you that I'm just giving you your options.
Right.
It may be a bad option. I'm just telling you that if your option is run in a straight line, it's like there's a bear chasing you. I'm going to run in a straight line until the bear chases me. Okay, well, why don't we just turn around and have a fight?
I say, Nico, you might as well head to the magenta one. And the one that we don't know is bad. The other two we know are bad.
God, now I got to look this up.
To be fair, we don't know that a Karen is bad per se. It's just a lot of battles, a lot of fighting.
And that's I
tend to be good at fighting.
If we go there, we could try and hide out until you attune to the ring. Like, just because it's a warring plane doesn't mean every single spot on that plane is at constant fighting. We could walk into a battle. We could walk into a dense jungle and be able to just survive for 5 hours. It's not like we need to do months or years. It's hours.
Yeah, but
would have to come find us on that planet as well. Or I keep saying planet, but you know what I'm saying.
Right, but we'd have to hide somehow. I don't know how we're going to do that because they can see us the whole time.
Better than the option you have where you can't hide from.
I was going to say, so then what else are we going to do? Either it's row and fight till death, or go and try and find somewhere to hide. We don't know what this plane looks like. We have no idea what's going on there. Like I said, we could jump in there and it could be a jungle, or it could be a desert and we're fucked. Either way, we're not in a good position and feel like our only option is to try something else.
Right. That's what I was going for. And it sounds like Karen is the one that at least we know what it is. And
exactly.
We can just... You know, yeah, they're fighting each other, but maybe we can find a place where we can hide.
Okay, I'm listening.
All right, Nico, you want to head us over that way?
Yeah, I think that's the best plan.
Gilly, you in?
I suppose.
Just be ready for a fight or be ready to run.
Okay. I mean, I guess...
Well, let's do this. Ready? Can he talk to us if he's resting?
That one he can't even hear us.
Rest, right?
He can't even hear us.
He's in a tiny hut. He can't hear us.
Can he answer the question first? Can he rest and talk at the same time?
Well, resting is not. He just can't like be in combat or
right. So if I go and knock on the bubble a bunch of times and just keep smacking at it. They could get the message.
They just drop it and talk.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he can see. He can see out of it. You can't see into it. He can see out of it.
Right.
So you can go over to it and you can like hit on it.
And we can point to the.
Yeah, there's no real sound that's going to get through it, but he can see you.
I need to talk to you.
Right. When I see that, I'll just drop it.
Okay.
So then we lay out our two options to you. We're looking for an advice. This is what we have, and we want to make it on board because it's a death sentence.
This is true. Whatever you guys choose is fine. I may have foolishly gotten into unhelpful. This situation. And so,
the smartest guy on the ship, the most unhelpful answer we could get.
I trust you guys to get us out of this situation.
Okay, but before, if you're going to do the hut up again, before you do it, let's all get in it before you do it?
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to a Karen, then that might be really helpful.
Yeah.
So
maybe.
Yeah.
I'll throw it up. Okay. Everybody in.
All right.
Boom. It happened. Only take a minute.
So then how many hours are we away from the planet and can or the plane?
And does this start it all over again?
All right. So the pool is the portal through which you go to get to the plane. Okay. I would say that you could probably get there in the next couple hours, which would probably be an hour ahead of the other creatures reaching you.
Okay, good. So we go through the portal to the plane, knowing that we have a limited head start on them if they're coming to get us.
What if we run and we don't have water on this plane?
We have to survive a number of hours. I think we'll be fine.
If the plane doesn't have water, it doesn't matter how long we survive because the boat doesn't go unless it's on water on other, or at least that's how it was on the material plane. I don't know if that's the case on all planes or not.
Well, how was it going to go on the fire plane?
I don't know.
Asbestos rope. He was going to pull us over. Remember?
I will tell you that, like I said, the ship,
you know,
was
there has to be water.
Well, there doesn't have to be.
Yes, there does. If there's living creatures on that planet that we know are goblins and hobgoblins and orcs, there has to be water.
You're taking your earthly science into magic D&D.
Right, but you're also talking about
same.
On the plane of fire, there's running stuff like lava and magma. And the ship is not affected by the fire, so it could have floated on that.
Right.
So far, you've seen that it's needed something to float on. Remember, when it was on Hydrolysis' back, it wasn't floating, so it didn't do anything until it was actually in water. And I will say that a liquid medium would be required. It does not necessarily have to be, and I'm going to throw up air quotes here, water.
Water, right.
Right. Okay, got it.
It has to be a liquid medium that it can float in. It appears to be a magical ship that can float in many different kinds of liquid medium. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
That in mind, maybe magenta's the best. I don't know if liquid mediums exist here unless we can find an adequately large river of blood.
Oh, God. That's
so much.
That's a pleasant.
Where were you hours ago?
Well, I'll let you guys make a decision on where you're going. Like I said, those are two possibilities. You have other things you could do, but those are two possibilities.
We could try and negotiate. I could apologize. We didn't kill anybody. We hurt them real bad.
We?
Oh. Yeah, I mean.
You got a rat in your pocket?
An exchange.
We?
I hit him.
One of us can hit things. One of us can't. It's not like you didn't try.
All right. What are you guys going to do?
I don't know. I want to run. I think we should take our chances. Either magenta or a Karen.
I say magenta.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Yeah. We are looking for Blue's Clues.
That's right. Magenta.
I mean, magenta. Magenta could be the plane of daisies and flowers.
So let's play this out, Rich. If we manage to survive long enough to get Thorin here attuned to the ship, what's the next move? Right, exactly.
We try to go wherever Pebble is.
Right, but how do we get there?
That's the problem, right? Is we need the ship.
Okay, Jim, I'm going to have to try something with you.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm going to put it up in roll 20, and you tell me if it's going to help.
Let me slide over there.
I have the gambler trait, never tell me the odds, and it says, you know, that you can figure out what the best odds are for figuring the odds on the best plan and can get a solid sense of which choice is likely the best one, which opportunities seem to be too good to be true, blah, 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 blah. But it's up to you to make a determination if I would be able to use that trait to figure out, you know, which of these choices would be better.
Look at Trax using his bard stuff tonight.
Now, this is just the gambler background thing.
Yeah, gambler
background.
Yeah,
but this is all that Trax using that bard stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So I would say
the original build
that
Trax 2.0.
Right.
Trax 2.0.
This is Trax part what is it, 1.0?
Yeah, 1.0, yeah.
Games of Chance are figuring out odds of the best plan. You can get a solid sense of which choice is likely the best one and which opportunities seem too good to be true. Wow.
Trax is kicking very it old school.
You are kicking it old school. Let's see here. So I know what your options are. I'm sorry, I'm having to research different planes of existence because we're doing this.
You don't know them all off the top of your head?
I don't know them all off the top of my head and everything that would exist in all of them.
The rails here, we know.
Right. No, that's fine. That's everything's fine.
This is a pre-5e book. This is before my time, and I don't know.
Right. I think that you would believe that the different planes that you are nearby, that you would think a Charon would be the best of the two.
Okay.
You got a bad feeling about the other one.
Yep.
And I also believe that you would think, since the Ifrit did mention that they wanted to negotiate with you, that you would think that quite possibly the best odds would be in a negotiation.
I tell everyone that's how I feel.
So maybe we should stay?
That's how I feel. That's all I can say.
You guys, I don't like the idea of potentially going somewhere we don't know we can get out of.
Yeah, that's a big risk.
I don't like that either.
Let's do it.
Okay. But all
right. Let's do what?
Stop the drumming.
Stop the drumming.
Okay. Stop. Okay.
I don't think that Doran should do the talking.
Yeah, that's the question, isn't it?
Oh,
we could put like a fake gag over his mouth and then fake tie him to a post or something and then see how the negotiations go with him all tied up.
Right, because I was the only one shooting at the thing.
No, listen, you started the fight. I'm just saying.
I'm thinking it might help. I'm just thinking it might help with the negotiations.
Right. I'm just saying that you were the one.
You think I can't keep my mouth closed?
No,
hey,
no.
Listen. Listen.
Absolutely.
Listen,
the guy that insulted you, and we all kind of, took care of the situation.
Listen.
I'm not saying we're actually doing it. We're just
I am not one to talk. I'm not saying I'm not putting my foot in to put in the negotiations because y'all know I can't negotiate either.
Trax looks like he might be you on this one.
It may be the one that Trax should be the one to negotiate. It's going to be a problem,
but we'll try. You're the only one who hasn't really all done the time. Much to it.
All barred all the time. There we go.
All right, well, I'll try my best.
So
between you and Nico, Nico can help you out.
Nico so definitely can help.
So are you just stopping the ship and waiting an hour or so? Are you stopping the ship, moving back towards them? Are you slowing down the ship? Like, what are you doing?
Well, I don't want to act like we're attacking them. So I think we just kind of, just wait for them.
Okay. All right. So you stop the ship and you're all sitting and, Doran, you brought down the hut, correct?
Do we have something that shows like we come in peace or
like what?
A white flag?
A what? Yeah, But isn't that surrender?
Well, that's what we're doing.
But we're not surrendering. We're
pretty much.
No. We're negotiating.
Yeah, there's but what I'm saying is we're not
sneaking.
We're not being all aggressive. What? An olive branch, yeah.
Yeah. Do we have an olive branch? Nico, you're a druid. Can you like conjure us up an olive branch?
Craft that shit up?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, here's, you can't have our ship, but we're not going to attack you.
Please let Gilly do the negotiation. You can't have our ship, but.
Well, I tell you what, if I knew to do the negotiations, they probably are going to end up with the ship and all our stuff.
Oh, that's true. Okay, so, the ship, all our stuff, our firstborn.
Maybe servitude for 10 years or something. I don't know.
So your ship has been stopped while you're discussing all this, and you're thinking about druid crafting some olive branches or whatever. And you see these creatures coming towards you. And as they're coming towards you, they're sort of to start to spread out. So they're not all coming like in a big clump.
Okay, so
they're starting to spread
Doran, out. I'm sorry. Just say, I'm sorry.
And let's they stay a couple hundred feet out from the ship. And one.
Sorry.
Incredibly large, incredibly handsome.
Ooh.
Incredibly handsome. Ifrit is at the front. And he says,
Maybe I should negotiate.
So, the negotiations begin now. And that's where we're going to go ahead and end tonight.
Oh, come on.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so before we leave, we're going to go ahead and roll to see who's going to do the recap at the start of next week's show.
10.
You don't want it to be me. I have nothing to add.
Right. We're not going to have you roll.
Oh my gosh, I rolled a 1 again.
17. Oh man.
Traxy bags. Mark, you've got it again. But Mark, the good thing is you can't do it again.
Again, yeah.
Yeah. This seems to be a pattern with me. I roll once.
It is.
Twice in a row, and then I don't have to do it.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever app you're listening to us on, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Good Pods, follow us, and please leave us a rating and review, hopefully 5-star. Both are important to our growth. The higher rated a podcast, the easier it is to find it. You can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Patreon, and on Discord. All those links are in the show notes. That's all we have tonight. Have a great evening, and we will see you here next week. And remember, sometimes you crit. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.